Word. I'm going to be honest with you. What few notes I got this morning, if y'all don't hang a little meat around on it here and there, we may leave a little hungry. But I trust that God will do something for us. And if He'll speak to our heart, that's all that'll be necessary this morning. Amen. God will just speak a little bit. And doesn't take a whole lot from God. Just a little bit of God will choke most human beings, you know. Don't take much to choke us on the Word of God. But I want to ask you again this morning to turn your Bible to the Song of Solomon, if you would please. Solomon's Song in chapter 4. And we want to read down through verse number 10 this morning. Be our text verse for the message and the thought that I want to try to convey to your heart this morning. Song of Solomon, chapter number 4, and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Behold, thou art fair, my love, behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead." Just a little too much, Brother Doug, I believe. "Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices." Now may the Lord add His blessing this morning to the reading of His Word. I trust that you'll pray for Brother Hall this morning. I certainly need a special touch of God's grace and God's Spirit this morning to preach to you. And on the thought that I'm going to try to convey to your heart today, may God help us to get a hold of it and the truth of it. I believe it'll do something for us this morning if we can. And I don't want to keep you any longer than necessary, and I probably won't today, really. But I am going to preach my heart. If God will let me, I want to pour out my soul the best I know how to this congregation this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful now for the good songs that we've enjoyed. Lord, how they've touched and moved my heart this morning. I thank You for the Lord Jesus. And Father, when I think about the cross upon which the Prince of Glory died and gave His life there in my place, it does move my heart within me, rejoices my spirit, causes me to be thankful this hour that I'm a child of God. Lord, that have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, sealed to the day of redemption. Thank God for eternal and everlasting life that You've imparted to us in the person of Your Son, Lord, through the indwelling Spirit of God that lives within us. I pray now that You'll provide liberty to preach and knowledge. I pray that You'll give Brother Hall the wisdom that I need and the help from Almighty God to stand in this sacred, holy place this morning and to preach Thy Word as You've laid it upon my heart. Help me, Lord, to say everything that ought to be said, not to hold back anything that ought to be said, but help me, Lord, not to say anything that has not been seasoned with grace this morning. Save every old sinner under the sound of my voice. Bless and revive the people of God. And may Jesus this morning find honor in everything that is said and done. And we'll thank You for it in His wonderful and lovely name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. Now, I may not be able to give us any more in a Sunday school lesson this morning. But I want to call our attention to verse number 10, where the Bible said there, "How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices." I want to try to preach, if God will help me this morning, on the thought, when our love moves the heart of Jesus, or when our love cheers the heart of Jesus. When do you think that your love that you had for Him or have for Him would really move His heart with tenderness and compassion toward you and I that are saved by the grace of God? Now, I must confess to you this morning that I see something wonderful in these verses, something that I really haven't given a great deal of thought to in my Christian life. I've given a great deal of thought to Christ's love for you and I. And I felt like that I had gotten a hold of that to some degree in my spiritual life that I live for the Lord Jesus. For the Bible said that God loved the world and gave Himself for us. And you know, it is one thing for you and I to understand that Jesus loves us. He proved that love for us when He gave His life upon Calvary's brow and died there in our place. And all through the Word of God, it declares His love for you and I. The Bible said that He loved the church and that He gave Himself for it. And over and over and over in the Bible, the Lord tells us about His wonderful love. You find it in the Old Testament, and you find it in the New Testament, how that Christ loves you and I today. But I tell you, there is a truth here, my friend, that really overwhelms me. For in verse number 10, the Lord Jesus is not commending His love toward you and I. But there He is commending our love that we have for Him. For He said in that verse, "How fair is thy love, my sister and my spouse." And He said that your love really is better than wine. And it is better. It is, the smell is better than all of the spices. And what Jesus is saying there, church, He is saying that I recognize that you really love me. Now, I want to say on the authority of the Word of God, friend, I can get a hold of the fact that Jesus Christ loves me. And I can even get a hold of the fact that I can say with my lips that I love Him. Oh, but when He that knows the hearts of mankind can say that you love me, that is, that your love for me is really fair, I'm telling you, my friend, that is just about more than I can comprehend this morning. When Christ begins to comprehend or to commend you and I for our love toward Him. And He goes on to say that your love is better than wine. Now, if I know anything at all about wine, it is an exhilarating drink. It exhilarates the spirits of man. But in the Bible, wine is always a type of joy. And Jesus is saying here that your love is so fair, that your love is so wonderful, that your love for me is so precious, that it causes my heart to flutter with great joy. Do you remember, gentlemen, the first time that that little bride of yours rolled those eyes around and fluttered those eyelids at you? You remember how your heart began to jump just a little bit on the inside, and You said, my, I do believe that I'm in love with that little girl. I want to say to you, my friend, as a sinner, hallelujah to God, when we looked up into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with eyes of pity and desire mercy, we cried out for help from God. He said, it is that kind of love, oh, that moves the very heart of God. It is that kind of love that rejoices my heart and brings great joy to me. Did He not say in the book of Hebrews that He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him? What precious joy! He is happy this morning with our love. I'm glad. Thank God that my love today pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something this morning. Does your love today please the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said that the love of Christ constraineth us. So I can understand that. But my, when He begins to commend you and I for our love toward Him, really what He's saying there, He's saying that your love pleases me. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you on spiritual enough ground that you believe the Lord would say about you that your love pleases Him? Do you really love Him today? Love Him for Calvary's sake? Oh, do you love Him because He's taken away all your sin? Do you love Him because He's redeemed your never-dying soul? Or do you love Him for the loaves and the fishes? Amen. Just what you can get out of life. I love Him this morning for who He is, what He's done, what He's doing in my life. Praise God, and where He's taking me to. I can say on the authority of the Word of God, I am redeemed this morning by the blood of the Lamb. Thy love. How fair is thy love? My sister, my spouse. He said, how much better is thy love than wine? How much more cheering to my heart is your love than wine? Now I know that we can only love Him because He first loved us. Did you get a hold of that? Brother John said we love Him because He first loved us. Now I'm here to tell you there is no lost man or woman that can rightly love the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. You cannot. We love Him because He first loved us. When He passed by you in your affliction, when He passed by you in your unregenerate estate, when you were lost in your sin, depraved in your nature, when you were blinded by Satan in this world and was on your way to a Christless eternity, my friend, Christ passed by you, polluted in your own blood, a worm in a dunghill, and by the grace of God set His affection upon you and lifted you out of the filth of sin, set His love and affection upon you. And it's only because He has first loved you, my friend, that you're able to love Him in return. Hallelujah to God. I want to say secondly, real quick, and I'm moving real fast. He's not going to commend you for your love unless you're keeping His commandments. Amen. I don't have time to name all of them either. But He said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Our love moves Him, friend, when it's done through obedience. Let me ask you something this morning. How? Oh, if you love me, keep my commandments. How obedient have you been to Him? I'm going to be quite honest with you, friend. We live in an hour, and I'll get to the message in a minute. I'm rambling a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something. We live in a society, in a church age, when people entertain the idea, friend, that loving Him and keeping His commandments is a trip two or three times a week down to the house of God. Dropping a little piece of money in the offering plate and tithing our income. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, I think by the time we're through this morning, we're going to realize that we love Him when our heart is obedient to Him and that heart goes out to Him, desiring fellowship and communion with Him, not only three times in the house of God, but 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, wherever we may be, living and walking with Christ Almighty. Does your love please Him? Are you obedient? Do you always do those things that please Him, like Jesus said He did toward the Father?
Amen.
I do always those things that please the Father, Jesus said.
Amen.
Do you? WWJD. Now, I don't promote that mess. I walked in that bookstore up there yesterday and it had all them T-shirts hanging around on the wall. And one of them, I looked at one of them and it had a little old thing up there. It had a little old crown of thorns and it said, Jesus with a headache. And then it had three little old nails and said, took this. And I thought, my friend, anybody that would equate the sacrifice of Christ with a headache is blasphemous. You can say whatever you want to say, son. It's blasphemous. Amen to God. And we live in a world of blasphemy against God. That crowd claimed to love God with their lips, my friend, but I'm telling you, like the Pharisees, their hearts are far from Him. It's exactly where we're living today. Jesus said, with your lips you love me, but your heart is far from me. That's where I'm trying to get to this morning. Where is our heart this morning with the Lord Jesus? I looked at that one sign that had WWJD. I said, the first thing Jesus would do is tear all this garbage off the wall and throw it out in the street. That's what He'd do. Amen. Jerk about half of this bunch of books off these shelves and toss them in the infirmary and burn the mess up. Somebody said, preacher, I wish you'd preach. I know you did, but I'm going to meddle on you a little while this morning. I'm about fed up with a religious society who claims to love God, but they're living their life and their obedient spirit and heart is a long way from Him, my friend.
Amen.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
By the way, His commandments are not grievous.
Amen.
Somebody said, I can't keep them. Which one of them? I'll help you.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
How many times a week you have committed adultery? How many times a week you have to tell a filthy joke? How many times a week do you have to cuss? How come you have to wear clothes that are unbecoming of a child of God? How come you got to glue your face to the television set and watch that mess all the time? How come you cheer for the Wildcats and sit in church like a knot on log? Come on, say amen. Some of you in here this morning, get out on a horse, bless your heart, and ride a horse and smile and grin and have a time in God and come to the church house and act like you're a wooden end there. I'm going to tell you what your problem is. You don't know a thing in your heart, neighbor, about keeping the commandments of a holy God. If you love me, keep my commandments. What about not desecrating the Lord's day? I'm going to tell you something. I don't even read the funny papers.
Amen.
I don't read the funny papers, and I'm going to start preaching against flea markets.
Amen.
I'm against everything that walks, wiggles, crawls, and looks sideways at me, son. Amen. I'm tired of an idolatrous world that is robbing the love of Christ and stealing the love of Christ out of the hearts and the lives of God's people and turning us to a wicked society in this world that knows not God. And by the way, us Baptists are leaning more and more all the time to neo-evangelicalism and worldlyism that knows not God. Bless your heart. It's time that we got back to the old pagan ways of religion. You don't know anything about the doctrines of grace? I'm surprised preachers can hear a man preach and ain't got an ounce of God on him and think he's God's gift to the world. Huh? That's right. Somebody said, are you mean? I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at sin, buddy. I'm telling you, Jesus got a whole lot more grace than I have. When He could look upon the hearts of people that I see today and say, thy love is fair, my sister, my spouse. Oh, it is more to be desired than wine. Your love toward me does more for my soul than all the joy, my friend, that I could have throughout all the eternities in the world. Your love is greater than all other joy combined. Bless His wonderful name. Do you really love Him this morning? Let me ask you women something. What compels you to wear a dress? Won't be accepted in the church? What makes you ladies grow your hair long? Because Brother Hall said so? What makes you men cut your hair right and put on breeches? Because I told you that's the way it ought to be. Or you want to obey Him? I don't charge you a thing for that, folks. Now, I'm probably as guilty as anybody else, but I'm telling you, most of us today, friend, that we are motivated not because we love Him and want to please Him nor obey Him, but we are motivated by peer pressure. We are motivated, my friend, by worldly, by man's opinions. We are motivated more than often from what somebody else has said other than what the Word of God said. Hey, it's time that God's people got back into that book and saw what the book had to say about living and got back to the old path of living for God. Now, I've just about got to where I think I want to preach a little bit. Amen. Now, you hold this morning. I'm going to try to be as brief as I can, as sweet as I can, as lovely and as loving as I know how this morning. Okay? But let me ask you, when does a sinner, can you imagine a sinner? Jesus saying that a sinner's heart, a sinner's love is better than wine. A sinner saved by grace. I wrote down here, I just wrote down, I don't know why I wrote it down, maybe God wanted you to hear it, a sinner's love for Jesus. Can sinners really love Him? Do we really love Him? A sinner can love Him if Jesus loves them first. But when does our love, by the way, that love has got to be manifest in some way before it pleases the heart of Almighty God. Amen. We preached last week on His love being manifested. What manifests our love? Amen. Now I'm fixing the skin. There's a story, I've been around this so many times, and I even asked my wife, I said, what do you think about it last night? But there's a little old lady in the Bible. Little old sinner girl. And I told you it'd be a Sunday school lesson. But I may get happy here in just a minute when I get on this last point. There's a little old sinner girl in the Bible by the name of Mary. In Luke chapter number 7. And there was a Pharisee. There was a Pharisee. By the name of Simon. And old Simon invited Jesus over for lunch one day. He said, Lord, I want to invite you over to a meal. Jesus walked in. Simon never washed his feet. Simon never gave him a kiss. Simon never anointed his head with oil. But he set him down at meat, and a little old sinner girl come walking into that room and immediately began to wash the feet of Jesus with the tears of her eyes, began to wipe His feet with the hairs of her head. Oh yes, and began to kiss His feet. And the Bible said that then she did not anoint His head, friend, but she anointed His feet with an ointment out of an alabaster box that she had already broken there in Simon's house. I got to thinking about that man. She washed him. She kissed him. She anointed him. And here's what old Simon thought in his heart. Simon began to think in his heart, said, this man's not a prophet. You got to understand, Simon was a Pharisee, friend. Had everything just right in his life. Had his hair cut right. Wore the right kind of clothes. Buddy, outwardly that man looked like a good Baptist on a deacon board in most Baptist churches. Oh, he'd make deacon board, Sunday school teacher. I can see Simon up there singing specials in the house of God. But he doesn't know who God really is. God walks into His own presence. And He said, if that man was a prophet, I'm telling you, much greater than a prophet, friend. If that man was a prophet, he'd know that this woman that touched him was a sinner. I'm glad, thank God, friend, that He come to associate with sinners. Amen. To come to where we was, to identify with us in our sin, that He might lift us out of the pit of slime. And I'm going to tell you how naive he was. He was so ignorant of who Jesus was. Didn't know who He was. But Jesus, knowing the hearts of men, said, Simon, I've got something to say to you. He said, Master, say on. Look how pharisaical he is. Look how hypocritical he is.
He said if he were just a prophet, he'd have known what this woman is. But then when Jesus speaks to him, he said, Master, Lord, what is it, Lord? He's a saying in his heart that he's not even a good preacher, but yet with his lips he's a calling the Lord Master. I wonder how many bells had rang at Island Ford Baptist Church this morning. How many of y'all sitting in here calling Lord with your lips, but in your heart you don't even know whether he made a good preacher or not? Come on now, you hold Nile's skin. The Lord said, Simon said, say on, Master. He said, there was this man, and he had two servants. One of them owed him how much? He said, there was a certain creditor had two debtors. One of them owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me wherefore which of them will love him? Oh, Simon said, well, I suppose, Lord, the one that he forgave the most.
Amen.
And Jesus said, you have rightly judged. Said, when I come into your house, said, you gave me no water to wash my feet, Simon. You gave me no kisses. You didn't greet me. By the way, a kiss was a sign of greeting and affection. He said, you didn't even wash my feet. You didn't refresh me, Simon. Neither did you even greet me with a kiss of affection, Simon. You have nothing to say to me, Simon. What you wanted was what you could get out of me, Simon. He said, you didn't even anoint my head with oil. But this sinner woman, now look here. In that picture, Simon's a fellow that owed 50 pence. The girl, the whore, the prostitute, little old Mary, owed the 500. She said, you didn't even anoint my head with oil, but said, since I came in, she has been washing my feet with the tears of her eyes, wiping them with the hairs of her head. Said, she's been a kissing my feet and anointed them with oil. Said, wherefore I say unto you, Simon, this little old woman here that had great sin loves me much. Because to whom much has been forgiven, they will love much. But to them that have been forgiven little, Simon, they'll just love but just a little bit. Now look here. Hear me well. It took, and I'm fixing to make the application, it took just as much grace and blood to cleanse and forgive the little girl, the little sinner girl, as it did a Simon that only owed 50 pence. He flatly forgave both of them, friend. And it took as much grace to forgive Simon as it did to forgive Mary. But he forgave both of them. But look here. Jesus made this own statement out of his own mouth. Now he said, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Now I'm going to say, my friend, I do believe that Christ was moved with her love. He was moved with her heart. She had something, some kind of love in her heart that Simon the leper knew absolutely nothing about in his life. Now get this, buddy, I'm getting ready to tell you where I'm going to, and it's going to hurl up about half of you. Our love moves His heart when we worship Him, children. Come on now, don't back up on me. I'm fixing to nail her down again. Somebody said, that's all you can preach on lately. When you get there and start, I'll quit.
Amen.
Well, oh yes. He is moved with our love when our love, my friend, prompts us to worship Him. In humility, she fell down at Jesus' feet and began with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. She gave Him her heart. Amen. That's where the tears come from, out of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Somebody said, where did she get it from? She got the broken heart because of Calvary. Problem with some folks and why they don't know nothing about worshiping God is because they know nothing about the grace of Calvary. They know nothing about the love of God that was poured out on an old rugged cross to save your wretched soul out of hell. Some of y'all sitting here like a knot on log with your eyes shut this morning. I'm trying to preach you something there with your eyes shut. You ain't impressing me a lick, buddy, on your deep meditations.
We didn't come to church to sleep and meditate. We come to church to worship God because of Calvary. Amen. That's right. She worshiped Him because she recognized the grace of Calvary. He didn't worship Him because He knew absolutely nothing about the grace of Calvary. I want to ask you something this morning. Has your love moved Him? Huh? The tears is a sign of a broken heart. Your heart been broken for the cross this morning? Have you wept over Jesus today? Have you looked at the stripes on His back and wept over Him? Have you looked yonder at the cross and saw the suffering Son of God, my friend, anguishing in His soul, agonizing in His soul, travailing in His soul, and at the same time, my friend, His body beating beyond recognition?
Amen.
Have you seen Him there this morning? Has it called you love to go out? And I'm going to tell you, here is a blessed part. Little old Mary, the sinner, the prostitute, the harlot, the whore, had enough sense to know, my friend, that it ought to have been higher on that cross. That's where most sinners fall short. You've never seen yourself condemned, a sinner, an unclean before God, a transgressor before God. And until you see yourself a guilty worm and a transgressor of God and an offender of God's holiness, you'll never see Calvary like you ought to. Are you listening? Are you listening?
Amen.
Now the second thing she did, she wept tears with her eyes, Miss Sharon. And the second thing she did, she began to wipe them with the hairs of her head. Come on, ladies in Miss Hall Sunday School class. What is that hair on your head? Come on now. Somebody talk to me. You're what? Give Him the glory for what He's done in your life. I'm going to tell you what she's doing. With a broken heart, my friend. She is worshiping with a broken heart and was ascribing all the glory to Him. May God help us today, Shelby. Son, when you start growing in God, just give Him the glory for everything good. Blame the devil for everything bad, son. You'll never come out wrong. I'll assure you that. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I won't give Him the glory this morning. He's worthy. Son, if you got any doubts of that, read the book of the Revelation. As a lamb slain. Oh, He stood in the midst on Zion's hill as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And God ascribed unto Him all praise, all honor, and all glory that is due His wonderful name. Oh, yes, for He purchased our soul out of the slave markets of sin. Hallelujah. She gave Him the glory that was due His name with a broken heart. She wept with a broken heart and worshipped with a broken heart because He had taken her place yonder on the cross. And that prompted her to worship. That love that she had for Calvary prompted her to worship in Him. And she began to worship Him with a broken heart and giving Him all the glory she could give Him. Now I'm going to tell you, as if that wasn't enough, she had a little old alabaster box, and if you read in the other writings, they said it was of a precious ointment. Now looky here now. She not only worshipped Him, my friend, with a broken heart, and worshipped Him by giving Him the glory, but she worshipped Him by giving Him the very best she possibly could. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you come to church this morning to give Him the best that you got? I got the feeling good in that truck coming back from down yonder on the other day, or going down there one, and Brother Steve back there said, "Preacher, I don't know how I'm going to make out in Sunday school," said, "all this traveling," said, "I may going up to the bookstore tomorrow," said, "I may be kind of weak." I said, "Son, if you can't do nothing else, just get up and imitate Brother Jerome." Hallelujah to God! Just get up and sing the seven amens and everything will be all right. Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying, come to church and just give God the best you have in your worship.
Amen.
That's why some of y'all go home empty. I learned a long time ago, Harold Smallwood, Bible Baptist Church, the deacon there. told me a long time ago, he said, Gary, he said, God always gives His best to those that'll leave the choice with Him. But he said, if you want God to give you His best, you better give God your best. You really expect Him to give you anything with you not, without you giving a little something? You remember when David numbered all Israel and Joab said, David, don't sin against God. Don't do that. David said, I'm going to number them, Joab. Go out here and number them, all of them. Joab gave way to the commandment of the king, went out to begin to number them. And the prophet come to David and said, David, you've sinned against God. David said, I've sinned. He said, now here's three things. He said, you can either have famine for 3 years, or you can run from your enemy for 3 months, or I'll send a pestilence among you for 3 days. Here's what David said. David said, God forbid that I should even fall into the hands of man. He said, let me fall upon the mercy of God. He said, whatever God says, that's what I'll do. He said, go up to the threshing floor of Onan. Old David headed up to the threshing floor of Onan, and God, they saw the angel, and the angel said, David, build an altar right here and sacrifice right here unto God. Sacrifice, worship right here. By the way, that threshing floor of Onan is exactly where the temple is sitting over there now. But and they ain't about to get it from them Jews. A bunch of Arabs ain't going to get it, no sir. And David said, I want to buy this threshing floor. Ornan said, no, David. Said, here's the threshing floor. Here is the oxen for sacrifice. And here is the oxen's, their yokes and all this you can use for wood to burn the sacrifice with. Said, I don't want a thing out of it. You can have it. David said, God forbid that I should take anything from the Lord that doesn't cost me a little bit of something. I'm here to tell you, if you want to worship God, it's going to cost you something, my friend. You're going to have to crucify that old flesh of yours. Oh, yes, and embarrass the hell out of it. Too late now, buddy. That ain't bad, though. You might have to get a little of the bad place out of it.
Amen.
You ain't going to leave me now, are you? I'm going to tell you when our love moves Him. It's when we worship Him.
Amen.
I hope it does offend you. Get some of you get mad and I'll help you. I want to say, secondly, when our love moves Him. I'm trying to hurry. There was a fellow in the Bible by the name of Simon Peter. And Jesus had been to the cross and was buried and rose again and appeared to him in the upper room and appeared to him 8 days later in the upper room and then made His departure from him. And sometime in the course of them and 50 days later down the road before He ascended back to the right hand of God, several of those disciples was out on the Sea of Tiberias and was going fishing. Old Peter said, I go a-fishing.
Amen.
And the other disciples said, we're going also. By the way, Peter and John, James and John was there. Thomas was there. Nathaniel was there. A couple other the apostles was there. They said, we are going fishing also, Brother Peter. If you are going, lead the way, buddy. Get out there and lead the way, and we're going to follow Brother Peter. He is a spiritual man, therefore we'll follow him. They got out on that ship and towed all night long, never caught anything. All night long. But they looked on the land, there was somebody standing on the land, they didn't know who it was. And Jesus said, children, you got any meat?
Amen.
They said, no, we don't. He said, cast on the right side of the ship. And when they cast on the right side of the ship and filled up with great fishes, John recognized who was on the shore. And he said to Peter, said, it's the Lord. Peter girded himself with his fisherman's coat and immediately jumped out into the water to try to cover himself. But they brought the fish to land, and the Bible even says that Peter drew the net to land, and when they got there, they found bread and fish upon the fire and a honeycomb. And Jesus said, come and dine. They sat down there and dined. And when they got done dining, come here, Benny, you're my boy, I'll use you for an illustration. Now, y'all forget what I said a while ago, all right, get that out of your mind. Or I'll say it again if you don't. Jesus said, come here, Peter, I want to talk to you. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these?
Yea, Lord, you know I love you.
Feed my lambs.
And he took about two more steps and he said, Peter, lovest thou me?
Hey, Lord, thou knowest I love thee.
And he said the third time, said, Peter, lovest thou me?
Yea, Lord, thou knowest that.
All said right. Peter said, Lord, Peter got mad and said, Lord, you know that I love you. You know all things. You know that I love thee. And the Lord again said, Feed my lambs. And he said, Peter, when you was a young man, now get this now, don't leave me. He said, Peter, when you was a young man, he said, you girded yourself and you walked wherever you would. You just done whatever you wanted to do. But he said, I'm going to let you in on a little secret that'll help you out way down the road, Peter, in life. He said, when you're old, another man will gird you. And they'll lead you where you don't want to go. And he signified how Peter was crucified upside down. By the way, I learned the other night, Charles Spurgeon said 11 of the 12 disciples was crucified. 11 of the 12 disciples met a martyr's death. Didn't know that. But here's the punchline I want to get you to see on that. Jesus said, Peter, follow me. And don't leave me now. When does our love move Jesus? Number one, when we worship Him. Number two, when we're walking with Him.
Amen.
Can you get a load of Peter? Don't nobody leave on me real quick. Listen to me. Can you get a hold of Peter? Peter is supposed to be fisherman of men. When Jesus called him, he said, follow me, Peter, and I'll make you to become fishers of men.
Amen.
Oh, Peter began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and here he is, right back out into the world, paddling his own little boat, fishing for his own little fish. Amen to God. And not only that, he is influencing about three-quarters of the apostles of Christ to go back into the same mess and the same sin that they come out of.
Amen.
Brother, here is my thought. God, our love will move Jesus when we're walking with Him. Now, I'm going to tell you what some of you in here need to do, buddy. Don't depart now. I'm going to tell you what some of you... Can I just paraphrase what Jesus told Peter? Said, Peter, burn the boat!
Amen.
Peter, get rid of the net!
Right. Amen.
I'm going to tell you, some of you need to burn some boats!
Amen.
I'm talking about things in your life, my friend, that will drag you back into the world and prevent you from walking with God in the manner He wants you to.
Amen.
I'm going to say this, and I hope nobody gets mad at me. I don't know how many in here do, and I don't know how many don't, and it don't matter to me. But I'm telling you, something that's flooding our country that people are getting caught up in, head over heels. Every house you pass by has got a Ford or a Chevrolet or a Dodge four-wheel dually, 4x4. And they've got a horse trailer about as long as here to the sign out there. And a little old barn about the size of that baptistry back there. And that's right, they've got $175,000 worth of truck and trailer and dragging some old swayback nag all up and down all over the country in that trailer. And a lot of them claim to be children of God and love God. Now, I don't mean to, I'm not casting no stones, but I'm just telling you, my friend, that God told Peter, burn the motorboat!
Amen.
Burn the sailboat! Some of you in here need to burn some bridges behind you.
Amen.
Get rid of some of that mess. Lay it out every way to never see it. That doth so easily beset you. And learn to walk with God in love, friend.
Amen.
I won't charge y'all nothing for that.
Amen.
Somebody said, you clean my tater patch. I hope so. Huh?
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
You love me, don't you?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something else. Don't throw out your TV and watch VCR movies.
Amen.
Just love. I love you.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, you better burn your boats.
Amen.
Learn to walk with God, friend. Learn to walk with God. Why do you think Jesus asked him three times, lovest thou me? He said, Peter, if you love me, walk with me, Peter.
Amen.
You don't need the world out there. You don't need what's behind you. Walk with me. Look ahead. Look toward you.
Amen.
Now, here is the verse, and I hope you'll get a hold of this. This is what broke my heart this morning. When does our love move? He said, thy love is better than wine. Thy love is fair, my sister, my spouse. Your love moves my heart. He said, it's better than wine. When you worship me, it does. When you walk with me, it does. But what about this last little third point? And I'll let you go home. There's two girls in the Bible. One of them I done mentioned. One of them was a little old harlot by the name of Mary. The other one was one by the name of Martha. And they sent word to Jesus one day and said, Jesus, him who thou lovest is sick. Amen. Jesus said, that sickness is not unto death, but that for the glory of God. Amen. Jesus told his disciples, said, Lazarus is sick. And they said, well, we'll go to him. He said, not right now. Let's tarry a while here. And he waited 2 or 3 days, 4 days, whatever it was, and he saddled up and he headed to Bethany. When he got down there, Martha, the worker, she ran out to meet Jesus. She said, Jesus said, if you would have been here, Lord, said, my brother had not died. And he said, Martha, he said, I am. He said, your brother shall live again. She said, oh, I know he will at the last resurrection. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I believe. But she departed from him, and he remained a little ways away from the house. And she ran down and told Mary, that worshiping Mary, and said, Mary, the Master's come. I get this now. And Jesus, this I hope this helps some of you. Jesus sat there waiting on to see exactly what Mary would do. And Mary, the Bible said in verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down. Guess where she fell down to, church? Come on now. Amen. Fell down back at his feet again. And saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Listen. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit. And was troubled, and he said, where'd you lay that? But here's the point I want to make. Get a hold of this now. When is his heart moved? Somebody's going to criticize this. But it's moved when we want something of him. When our love motivates us to want something of him. Did you read what I said? Mary and Martha both. Lord, if you had only have been here. My brother wouldn't have died if you would have been here. Martha threw it back up at him again. Lord, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. Didn't I tell you, Martha, if you'd only believe, you would see the glory of God. I believe when Jesus came, my friend, that he saw in their heart, what? What do you want from me? Lord, only that my brother live again. Let me ask you something in here this morning, mamas. What do you want from him? Lord, that my boy would live. Lord, that my baby girl would live. What do you want from him? They were weeping. Their tears moved his heart to weep. He was troubled and groaned in his spirit. Do you know what those that stood around said about Jesus? Said, oh, I loved him.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. It was that love for him.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That caused him to weep. What do you want from him this morning? Can your heart move him? Somebody said, preacher, I'm not Mary. If you learn to worship like Mary worshipped and weep like Mary wept.
Amen.
You can be a Mary. Boy, I've said more about her lately than any other person in all the Bible. And I'm telling you, her life fascinates me.
Amen.
I find her in the Bible worshiping Him. I find her in the Bible weeping over Him. I find her in the Bible wondering at the grace of Him when she looked at Him yonder in the garden.
I'm going to be honest with you, friend. You can say whatever you want to say, but I really believe this with all my heart. You would have to look a long way in the Bible to find anybody in the book, including Paul, that loved Jesus any more than Mary.
That's right. 7 minutes.
Somebody said, how can that be? For they that are forgiven of much, the same shall love much.
Amen.
If you're a Pharisaical today and you're self-righteous and he don't have to forgive you of a whole lot, you... You ain't going to love him a whole lot.
Amen.
From sinking sand he lifted me. With tender hands he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. You love him this morning. Do you love him enough to cheer his heart? Thy love is fair, my sister, my spouse.
Amen.
More to be desired than wine. Better than all thine ointments, he said, that are even better than all the spices.
Amen.
Love him? You really love him? If you do, keep my commandments.
Amen.
And my commandments are not grievous. Let's stand together.